And I know it's going to be absolutely no battery, no assault, no
certainly
violence.
Not.
There's nothing to be like that involved. So anybody that's listening, you know, this is going to be some good street theater, and I'm sure the whole community will love and appreciate what we have planned for them.
Hey, David, thank you. And
surely.
I guess I want to just suggest that even at this late date, any council member can try to put an emergency item
yes.
on the agenda
yes.
up to the very moment that the civil disobedient protest happens. They can say, I ask the city council to make an emergency finding and put this item on the agenda. Now, it requires a 5-2 vote. They may not succeed, but I would be very impressed to see any council member try to do that.
Let me just make a statement to anyone there in the community that's among the rich and powerful that have control over our council members. Relinquish your control. Let these council members vote their conscience. I have spoken to them, and a majority of them do not believe in the sleeping ban, and they think it's wrong. Let them vote their conscience. Relinquish your control. Let them vote the conscience of their convictions. I'm talking to the rich and the poor, those people that fearmonger and say the boogeyman politics, that if we vote for this, the conservatives are going to backlash and we're going to have a conservative victory. No way is a conservative going to ever win more than 2 seats in the coming election. So that's a bunch of bullshit. You know, we'll still end up with a 4 or 5 majority, no matter what, if we barely even try at the next election. And we're going to try hard. And the Green Party is committed very hard to bringing out a bigger vote than we ever have before. This is one of the things we did with our resolution to support the repeal of the sleeping ban. We also said with the council members we endorsed having to vote for that. We also promised that we will pull out the biggest vote we've ever pulled out before. So I don't know what these liberals, boogeyman politics, being afraid of the conservative backlash. It's Mike Vasquez and them. It's a bunch of crap. Don't fall for it.
You're, of course, talking about the evening Voices from the Village show on Thursday, which interestingly had no homeless people on it, had no homeless advocates. It had, you know, people.
Well, I consider Sandy Brown a pretty good homeless advocate, and I consider Ken Cole a pretty good homeless advocate. But
I don't, not based on what they did on the show, I got to tell you.
Didn't see the beginning of the show.
That's true.
It kind of got taken over by Mike Schmidt. Mike Schmidt had a way of recontextualizing the subject, and that really annoyed me. And you might be pretty annoyed by his article in the City on the Hill, if you got a chance to look
at
that. I thought that was betrayal of a trust that he had with the demonstrators.
For those who haven't read the article on City on the Hill,
he was right there with us. He was standing with us and encouraging us to civil disobedience. And then he goes and writes an article like that in the City on the Hill. What a two-faced son of a bitch!
Well, what he said essentially was that he didn't support the protest. And he thought they were counterproductive, and that they closed down the council session. I actually called Mr. Schmidt this morning and left him a message that said, look, Mike, you know, in fact, it was Mayor Sugar who closed down the meeting, not us. And secondly, there was nothing happening. There was nothing on the agenda. There was no action from the city.
Well, watch out for this Michael Schmidt, just all around. Just watch out for him, because he's posing as some kind of progressive. He's come up with, he stole our safe sleeping zones concept and turned it into tiny sleeping places concept, and then he folded. And the first time he even met with the chief of police with this, he had complete support of all the business associations in town. And with the complete support of all the business associations in town, as soon as the chief of police said no, everything disappeared. The chief of police has complete veto over this man, so do not trust him.
Hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Anything else you want to add?
Blessed be.
Blessed be, David. And that is the ever-informative David Silva, Green Party activist and sleeping ban opponent to the max on fast for, 3.5 months now. We have another incoming call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Good afternoon, Robert. How are you?
I'm good. Are you here to cast your ballot on who's the most pie-worthy council person?
No, actually, I'm here to give you a skinhead report, because there's skinheads out on the mall right now.
Tell me.
Causing trouble.
Okay.
There's about 4 white individuals. They're pretty tall, skinheads. One of them has a tattoo on his lower back, and they're walking around in their underwear, in, like, boxer shorts.
Right.
And anybody that looks different, or they're having, you know, they've been using a lot of racial slurs. And they had a little incident out in front of the coffee roasting like an hour ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
And Officer Bofango came out.
Were you a witness to that incident?
No, I was not. But I did witness another incident.
Uh-huh. What did you hear about the first incident?
What I heard was there was some kind of... They just, you know, anybody that looks different, they just say something, or they push them, or they bump into them. And I followed them all the way down the mall watching them do this. And, of course, the cops are nowhere to be found, even after the first incident. They were down near the information center.
Well, maybe these are representatives of the police, kind of the uncovered, the police department revealed. Anyway, go ahead. No,
After that one incident at the coffee roasting, I kind of kept an eye on them and followed them down. They went to the metro, and I noticed people would stop and step back, like there'd be some kind of conflict with the people. They'd say something to them.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would have harsh words for them. And then they ran into this one woman, mm-hmm. and it looked like they were going to hit her, and she got really scared, and a couple of people came across from Zachary's and confronted the guys, and then they kind of took off, and then she went and talked to the police. The police came out, and of course, they were nowhere to be found then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. They're walking around in boxer shorts. They're tall. They're like over 6 foot tall.
Looks like they're trying to steal the peaceful protest tactics of the bare-breasted bandits.
I don't know.
Yesterday.
I don't get what their trip is, but mm-hmm. you know, they walk around in their boxer shorts, so they're not too hard to find.
Well, you were covering the bare-breasted bandits yesterday, who are, of course, talking about the Starbucks and the kind of.
I was not covering them. They were uncovered.
Good point. You were uncovering them, or they were uncovering themselves. And I know they were bare-breasted on the mall. And as women, that's quite a statement to make. It's a way of saying, you know, let me do what I need to do, or need to do to express this issue. And I guess there was one man who was also largely uncovered. There, I saw only one, really, two men.
The other one was dressed as a woman.
Yes.
There was a. I see. Well, our sharp-eyed genital watcher James Nay here says that there were two men involved with the bare-breasted bandits. But again, it seems to me it's interesting. Now you've got this isn't really a protest. It sounds like more of a fraternity stunt.
I guess I don't know what it is. They were just going around causing trouble, and they're off the mall. Incidentally, they right now, because I was looking all around, and also a friend of mine was out and been following them around too.
Did anybody photograph them? Or?
I don't have any film, no.
Bummer.
I would have if I had film in my camera, but
well, you better just, you know, we're going to start spare changing for some film for you, Bob.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Any other reports that we should know about here at Free Radio?
No, it's just that this happens. It's been happening quite a bit here in our little progressive town. You know, not too long ago, I witnessed. Some guys, what appeared to be play fighting, were attacking an African American man, and they ended up going into toward the Blue Lagoon, and the security there broke it up. And of course, the police couldn't do anything by the time they got there. But
anything.
These skinheads are on the rise, and you know we got to like do something about it. But keeping an eye on it anyway. But then I was able to take some photos of them, and that kind of scared them away. When a camera starts flashing, they get scared.
As they should. Yeah, cameras and tape recorders are often the best tonic, whether it be for overzealous police officers or thugs beating up people for racial reasons.
Exactly. Okay, I'll let you get on with your show.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, bye.
And, hey, don't forget to call in. We need the ballots. We need to know exactly what the community sentiment is on who's going to get this pie on Tuesday. Byers, Fitzmaurice, Hernandez, Crone, Matthews, Rotkin, or Sugar. Call 427-3772.
You know, a little interjection here is, isn't it interesting? Here we have a group of thugs, basically. That's exactly what it sounds like they are, is simple-minded idiot thugs going around racially abusing and other things, people there, and you can't find an officer. But boy, go chalk on the sidewalk and see how many officers you can raise. Of course, now you probably won't, but for me, they brought, what, 5 officers because I was chalking on the sidewalk? Yet here's people abusing other people in our downtown, and yet you can't find an officer in sight.
Well, I saw 3 officers when I was there, but that's a lot of officers for one man with a piece of chalk, although admittedly there were a number of other chalk criminals that they ignored, strangely enough, including, a young 4-year-old girl and other people that were chalking, should we say, some of them actually in anger that you were arrested. I guess it was on Wednesday night or maybe Tuesday night. I think it was actually, was it Tuesday? And you were held in jail for 3 days. First, you were ticketed. 3 hours. That seems like 3 days. Maybe it was 3 days ago. Anyway, you were held there after being ticketed earlier in the day around noon. And then when you began chalking again in the evening, they handcuffed you and took you away. Now it was Officer Brandt, Bulldog Brandt, as I like to call him, once with his German Shepherd dog on the mall, now last bereft of his lethal pooch. And out there doing his own policing. I'm hoping that will have a significant financial impact on the city, because I know that in different cities people have gotten civil settlements for cities attempting to repress people who are walking, chalking the sidewalk with erasable chalk. We'll see what happens with that. It's different from city to city. I know attorney Kate Wells may be looking into that. Maybe my producer can get a hold of Kate Wells and have her give a call to the station and give us an update. She's also the attorney for the new medical marijuana club that's kind of returning, as well as a longtime supporter of ending the sleeping ban. Hopefully she'll be around city council on Tuesday for that. Hopefully you will be too. Come to city council at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night, or 6:30 if you want some food, or come to the town clock at 5:30 if you want to be a part of the Speak Out and March. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
Kate Wells. Boy, yeah. No sooner said than done.
What? Well, you've been using my name in vain?
I've been talking about your intimate activities, and we frankly are rather shocked.
Oh, pretty boring subject, huh?
Well, it's a matter of who you talk to. I know that you were at the last council meeting trying to get some changes in the medical marijuana law. Some of them you got, some of them you're still pushing for. You want to give us the update on that?
Yeah, I think the original ordinance as written had an exclusivity clause that would only allow you to be a member of one club, which that's to me that's in opposition to all of what the movement stands for, and it makes sense just in terms of free enterprise that you know, we may not have the kind of medicine that somebody needs, but somebody else might. So either we have to change it so that we have you can have more than one card, or that the different clubs accept other cards. So that appears to be in the works. Mm-hmm. The other suggestion that I made, amendment that I suggested, is to add a personal use limitation. In other words, you can have, as in the Oakland ordinance, you can have up to so many pounds for personal use. You can have up to so many plants that you're growing for personal use. Right now, the ordinance does not mention anything about it. And as I said at the council meeting the other night, you basically, at this point, you don't find out that you're growing too many plants until the DA tells you you are.
Wow.
And that's, as far as I'm concerned, that's unconstitutional. You have the right to notice as to what is and what is not illegal. So
I think there's also some other difference with the Oakland Club that I read about recently in the paper, but it's not at the top of my mind right now, so, or the tip of my tongue. So.
Well, it's more progressive than the Oakland ordinance in that that it doesn't require an actual prescription.
Right. There was something else, though. The Oakland ordinance was actually more progressive than ours that you haven't mentioned. And I remember, because you and I conferred on this, and I'm trying to recall, but I don't at the moment. You're also, so anyway, I know that there is this question of the sleeping ban also coming up on, I guess it's going to be, in a way, a different agenda item, because our protests are planned for the evening. Your medical marijuana group is getting its ordinance, getting its second reading in the afternoon, although there will be homeless issues task force activity happening after the medical marijuana.
Well, before I go into that, I just wanted to say that our provider association is open, and we are looking for any bona fide patients who have either, at this point we're still requiring doctor's recommendation, or an Oakland card will do. We're open Tuesday through Saturday, and the phone number of the organization is 460-0420.
Okay, and the name of the group is?
Is the Santa Cruz Cannabis Pharmaceuticals. And we specialize in not only the kind of medicine that you can smoke, but we're actually trying to come up with alternative products that don't shred your lungs, including a concentrate that works with just a drop on the tongue, you know, other kind of innovative kind of ways, inhalers and that sort of thing, to so that people who haven't smoked can, in fact, still get the relief for their nausea from chemotherapy or whatever. The number is 460-0420.
How about brownies, Kate?
That's in fact, they are. Our baker is busy today, and on Tuesday we anticipate having a full array of baked goods as well.
You know, I think that what we might do to kind of sweeten up the situation on Tuesday, when we'll be presenting a pie to the city council, maybe you could make it a cannabis pie. It might kind of soften them up, so, you know, show them the right way.
Well, yeah. Now I'd like to get onto that issue, because, you know, it's really interesting. There's a large overlapping of these two issues. Many of our patients that we already have are homeless, and their afflictions, diseases, whatever they might be, have caused them to be in financial ruin. You know, so I found that without exception, I have basically spoken to everyone, because these are two equal causes in my mind. Without exception, everyone I have spoken to in the medical marijuana movement is also just appalled at the lack of compassion for homeless people, and so the two do overlap.
Are you saying that these people favor ending the sleeping ban? Because we hear Mike Schmidt says he has lots of compassion, but he favors keeping the sleeping ban.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vasquez has all kinds of compassion, but he favors keeping the sleeping ban and making sure no more homeless people come to town.
Well, I guess I would say compassion in whose mind?
Right.
Not in mine.
Mm-hmm.
Not in mine. So, you know, they can call them. I guess they can put a label on what they are. But no, to me, the compassion means an ending, putting an ending to this horrendous idea that it's illegal to sleep. You know, it's just or cover up with a blanket.
Do you think many folks are going to actually stay for the evening session when there may or may not? It sounds like David has said there's going to be civil disobedience unless there is. I mean, let's put it this way: people will decide at that time.
I thought they had made put it on at 4.
It is on at 4 in terms of the Homeless Issues Task Force, but they guaranteed, according to their own wording, that there would be no action, and indeed they have even added they're going to refer discussion and action to a future city council meeting. That's under that agenda item, which is the last item in the afternoon, titled Final Report and Recommendations of the Homeless Issues Task Force.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the main focus of the protesters against the sleeping ban is going to be in the evening at Oral Communications, probably just after the living wage, because the living wage was cut off the agenda by the mayor,
mm-hmm.
even though the sleeping band folks said,
right.
hey, come on up to the mic and be a part
right.
of this process.
Right.
And the mayor said, no, you can't, not if there are people lying down.
Yeah.
Not sure why that would prohibit them from talking, but Mayor Sugar knows best. You know?
Yeah, right. Well, I'm going to certainly encourage everyone I know and that's part of the medical marijuana group to stay and show solidarity with the sleeping ban protesters. I am going blanketless tonight in solidarity, and going to plan to be calling in tomorrow. And
you'll make up for it with blanket protest on Tuesday, perhaps.
Yeah. So, there's, I think, compassion, I think, is the key word that is the thread between the medical marijuana group and the because these are people who've actually risked a lot to push this issue and same goes for the homeless issue.
You know, the third item I wanted to talk about was the question of the cheeky chalkers downtown who actually were writing about the sleeping ban. James was arrested. James Ney, who we have in the studio with us, was arrested when he wrote the word sleep on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Officer Brandt with boots,
Was Garacio involved?
No, I'm afraid Boots Garacio was not.
I thought you said Boots.
Yeah, well, was Brandt had his own boots. He brought his own boots, but he didn't bring Garacio with him.
Uh-huh.
However, he did bring the squad car and his handcuffs, and he
uh-huh.
took away James
uh-huh.
for 3 hours, and now, of course, James faces this misdemeanor charge of defacing the sidewalk. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Right. Well, unless the chalk actually made some scratch marks or something that aren't going to be able to be removed, I doubt if he actually did any defacing of any kind of property. And in fact, this very thing has been ruled upon by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the appellate district for the federal court. There's been a specific ruling that an officer who arrests someone for chalking the sidewalk is responsible in damages to the person that he arrests. In other words, he is not entitled to immunity, and he should have known better, is what the basically the Ninth Circuit said, that any officer, any reasonable officer, would know that it is illegal to arrest someone for chalking the sidewalk.
Well, now, wait a minute, Kate. Now, I talked to City Attorney John Barisoni 2 days ago, and I said, well, you know, here's old James Nay dragged away for chalking. Uh-huh. But the next day I was chalking, and the police didn't do anything at all.
Isn't that something?
And there's been continued chalking on the sidewalk. I mean, what is this chalking crime wave you're allowing? I mean, is this some sort of selective enforcement, perhaps? I told him I was really dumbfounded. He said, look, he said, I can't talk to you because James Nay is going to be suing the city. Uh-huh. And I said, well, what about, you know, just what about the issue of other people who want to chalk? I mean, can they chalk? Can't they chalk? He said, chalking is criminal behavior. It is an example of defacing the sidewalk. I said, well, he says, when you put any writing on the sidewalk, that's a form of defacement. And in essence, he was saying, I guess the city intends to prosecute these tickets. So should we all bring chalk and start chalking the courtroom? Probably not. That would be a mistake. But actually, James actually is in the studio. I think he may want to have a word.
Hi, James.
Here.
Hi there.
Hello, Kate. How are you?
Hey. Way to go, buddy. Way to go.
Also, to let you know now, have been chalking since then. Numerous people have been. And actually, Robert even called it to the attention of one of the officer, Fingal.
Yeah.
And he actually said that they've now been informed not to make any citations or arrest unless initiated by a downtown merchant.
Upon a complaint process.
You know, the citizen's arrest? No, the citizen's arrest thing.
I see.
That they will no longer be citing for.
Yeah. Well, they're obviously nervous about the ramifications of what the officer did, should be.
It was also really kind of interesting because after Officer Brandt arrested me and took me to the county jail, he also had another officer there, and he was calling over his radio because when he got there, he didn't know how to cite me. He didn't even know what crime I had committed. And when he found out the ordinance, he didn't know how to make it a misdemeanor.
Wow.
So he ended up just writing on it the same ordinance number and then wrote after it within 48 hours.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if in fact they're calling that defacement, then we've got a real problem with what the term actually means. You know,
maybe they mean lose facement. Maybe that's what they mean.
Yeah, lose facement, right. Yeah, I think that, especially in view of the fact that what you were writing on the sidewalk was political speech, had to do with your opinion on a law, so that makes it political speech, and so they cannot limit your ability. In a manner that's already been determined by the appellate court to be legal.
Wow.
So, unless you were blocking the sidewalk or doing something, you know, other than just chalking.
Well, James does smile occasionally. Maybe he was laughing on the sidewalk.
Well, that certainly would be grounds for arrest,
summary
we don't want
execution.
To see any kind of smirks or smiles while you're chalking. Okay.
No smirking. Well, listen, Kate. So I noticed that I think the mayor is getting increasingly nervous at the prospect of civil disobedience coming his way. He doesn't seem to know what to do when it comes up at city council.
Gosh.
As we say, he doesn't know whether to shit or go blind.
Yeah.
He's not clear on that issue.
Uh-huh.
Maybe what you can do is offer your legal advice to the mayor as to how to proceed in these matters, or perhaps a hug. And when the civil disobedience comes down on
Leo
Tuesday,
Buscaglia,
a quick
solution.
Leo bit, exactly.
Yeah. Well, the solution is so clear, you know, in my mind that
change the sleeping ban, repeal
yeah.
the sleeping. Oh, come on, that would spoil all the fun.
I mean, you know, they have done it now with the medical marijuana, and look at all of the good political
fallout,
and all of the yeah. I mean, shoot, they can, you know, safely say, look, at we're being progressive in this area, you know. So let's see your progressiveness in other areas.
If Mayor Sugar is listening, first of all, you're welcome to call in, Mayor Sugar, and any of you other council members who occasionally listen to this show, whether we're talking about Tim Fitzmaurice or Chris Crone, our God help us, Catherine Byers, who's never called the show. Mm. Hey, the lines will be open as soon as Kate hangs up, and you can quickly call in and say, we're going to do something real at City Council. Let's talk about it. Let's get together and work it out together instead of having to be in opposition. Unfortunately, it seems that that's not yet in the cards.
No.
I frankly think we're going to have to apply increasing pressure, and not just the City Council, but I think downtown, because it's the merchants and the police that are pushing this law, I'm afraid.
I hate to say it, you know, being being that it's probably typecasting that I'm saying this, but I think the other thing we have to do is fight it in the courts, because I think the law is clearly unconstitutional, regardless of what Judge Tom Kelly had to say, that, you know, homeless people can sleep during the day, can't they?
right.
And so that's we need to get it up to a federal judge who can look at this law and say, my God, you're kidding me. They don't really have that law, do they? It's not really illegal to cover up with a blanket, is it? That's the other avenue we need to take.
That's good, and I know you are an attorney, but you often have not had the resources you needed to do that in the past.
It's a big job, and I've got, you know, I'm busy with, you know, Steve Argy's
Sugar.
Case.
Keith Sugar is a lawyer.
And
maybe
I'll
he could
still
be,
and I'll be busy soon with with Mr. Day's case. So.
Mm-hmm. So between the chalkers and the men defending the women from the police,
and the newspaper sellers, those other criminal
newspaper sellers down on the avenue. Right, that's pretty heavy. You got all kinds of work cut out for you.
We laugh to keep from crying, right?
Well, listen, we'll be seeing you hopefully at City Council.
Okay, wish me warm thoughts tonight. I'm going to be sleeping without a blanket. So.
Stay warm, and if it gets too cold, just remember to exercise regularly.
I will do that.
Or irregularly.
Okay.
Thanks, Kate.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
And that was civil rights attorney Catnip Kate Wells, as I call her. She's been at this for 2 decades at least, and looks like she'll be at it for another 2 decades. And it will be nice if folks joined her. Incoming call.
Hi there. You're on Free Radio. Are you perhaps calling in about the Pi Award?
No, I was calling to ask Kate Wells if she was going to supply photographic proof that she was sleeping without a blanket tonight.
I think possibly we could send you over as a Huff's own photographer to make sure that our attorney is not, in fact, snowing us again.
Well, Kate Wells does profound service for the community of Santa Cruz, and this is another example of her dedication to human rights. And
well, you yourself are something of a human rights activist, Bob, fighting for rent control and not even able to, in spite of getting the community behind you, can't seem to get the City Council to speak up much. Any change on that score recently?
Not that I know of, but, what I will say in this forum is that when a critical mass is achieved that requires no leadership, then we might see the Santa Cruz City Council take a position publicly on the issue. Mm-hmm. But one can only expect rents to increase in Santa Cruz. And to put it in a nutshell so that people understand what rent control is, rent control regulates the degree of residential rent increase. That's all it does, primarily. And the one negative about rent control is, yes, you do end up with a bureaucracy. It is regulation. People forget that the middle class would not exist were it not for regulation. There would still be child labor were it not for regulation. There would be no minimum wage. There'd be no 40-hour work week. And to come to this point in our history, the year 2000, and in a situation like Santa Cruz, to request something as modest with such a proven track record as rent control, to have it not dealt with on a leadership basis by those elected officials who are there for that purpose, I won't say it's startling, because I've become accustomed to this, but it's interesting, put it that way.
Well, surely Tim Fitzmaurice, who's very worried about Beach Flats properties being seized by speculators and Hispanic communities being dispersed, like at the Dolphin Lee, he's called you repeatedly to try to get some rent control proposal or something to deal with renter protection through the City Council?
I made contact with Mr. Fitzmaurice way before rent control was launched last year. Mr. Fitzmaurice expressed interest and support to me. and he wasn't alone in that. I will say once again, the one council person that came above board, of which I will laud and applaud, is Mike Rock, who came above board from the start in support of rent control, which makes a great deal of sense for our community at this point in time. Look, if you don't own property in Santa Cruz now, unless you inherit a pile of money or you inherit property, it's not going to happen. You're going to be a renter. And affordable housing is great as a safety net, but if we make the route where it becomes where all the lower middle class and lower class income-wise people reside, we have reinvented feudalism, and I find it appalling that my generation would allow this two-tiering to happen so blatantly. Rent control is a form of utilization of government that is in the people's interests. Those that don't own property, and if you look at what's happened with the evolution of our republic, where non-property people have the vote, this is what governments are supposed to do domestically.
Bob,
they're supposed to help those that don't have equity.
Bob, you know, Cypress Point and the threatened eviction of hundreds of people produced an angry outpouring that for a brief time looked like it might produce a wave in the city council again to get some rent control, but once the managers backed down, it looked like city council has retired to its appointed task force response. What's your reading of that situation?
That's exactly what happened. I mean, in a sense, what they did is they deflected rent control.
Mm-hmm.
By appeasing I think they did a good job. I'm not saying that situation should not have been brought to the point where they weren't going to follow through on their evictions and the like. But let's look seriously at rent control in Santa Cruz in the year 2000, and let's admit the property values are going to only increase, and let's also admit that you cannot blame a property owner for raising their rents because the market will bear it. Without regulation, it's going to continue. It's absurd to think otherwise. Silicon Valley is not going to go away. Santa Cruz is not going to be removed from the coast. Property values are going to continue to increase here.
Thank you, Bob. Anything you want to add?
When you pay rent, you get no equity, no appreciation benefits. The very least that should be expected is regulating the degree of residential rent increase.
I know that we have one 74-year-old woman walking the streets called Mary Curry, recently kicked out of the shelter because she didn't set up the table as apparently the task was supposed to be, who's now, she can't sleep in the armory because she's a 74-year-old woman and she's having problems with that. She herself, I guess, has gotten into the church program, but since that only deals with 56 out of the 700 to 1,500 homeless people, and that's, of course, a fraction of the people who face possible eviction as the rents begin to escalate. And I'm gonna just close with that little speech.
It's exactly on the mark, Robert. Take care. Thank you for letting me get on the air.
Thanks, Bob.
You bet. Bye.
And actually, I got a whispered update from James Ney, who is a secret, and I can't discuss it at this time. Again, we are looking for your incoming ballot votes on the pie for the most deserving politician. Byers Fitzmaurice, Hernandez Crone, Matthews, or Rotkin, or Sugar, phone in your vote. And here's James Ney.
Yeah. Because I'd like to touch on a little thing, especially while we're mentioning the pie. Okay, so in your voters, personally, I like Rotkin, Rotten Rotkin, as we call him. But maybe you should consider Sugar, too. As we're talking with David Silva, Robert brought up the question of, well, have certain things been said about, you know, protesters and actually the fact of, you know, unless you guarantee no protestations, we won't even agendize it. Well, to me, that's, you know, that's extortion.
It's also okay? Eliminating the First Amendment. I mean,
and although okay. Mr. Silva, and I can understand his position, didn't really want to get too factual about it, and because he was always very worried about hurting people's feelings and things like that. But now we have me. And personally, you know, I get my feelings hurt all the time. It's part of life. And if we can't grow from that, we're a bunch of idiots out there. And yes, Mr. Sugar himself, to my face, on the street, in discussion of this, did make the statement that if we were going to have protestations, they would not put anything on the agenda. Basically saying that if we continued to bring it in front of the public eye, he would do nothing whatsoever about it. That's extortion. I felt very threatened by this. I felt Mr. Sugar was threatening me. Not physically, but, you know, in his way.
I also felt that he made it very clear that he was not pleased with what I was doing, and he was not pleased with us speaking out,
that it should all be hidden behind doors. James, what were you doing? You were, in fact, engaging in gathering signatures for a petition. You were putting up signs at a table in front of the Del Mar Theater, which you do every day from 12 to 6, right?
Correct. I was there protesting the sleeping ban. I was there legally collecting signatures because I very much support the ordinance. I think it's the bare minimum of what we can do. And it's a shame that our city council doesn't do something, that we have to take it to the vote.
And you were also there chalking on the sidewalk.
That was the day that I had chalked on the sidewalk. I had already received a citation, and he was there because the owner of Alibaba's had called up complaining to him. Yet those of us that have for years asked for relief for the sleeping ban, asked for meetings, asked to speak with him, we get no relief. We get no meetings. If it is, it's very minor, or it's way down the road, or it's at his convenience. But yet here, one man complains about one thing, and in fact, he was the man who was in the wrong. Mr. Sugar comes running right down. Blah, 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 blah. I got to protect the merchants. I got to protect the merchants. Oh, my goodness. He was there because, in reality, at the time of the officer ticketing me the first time for the chalking on the sidewalk, the owner of Alibaba's was going off so badly. He was screaming profanities, calling me the rudest of names because of I was chalking on the sidewalk, of which I never returned any of his comments to him. Motherfucker this, motherfucker that. Being restrained by a police officer, he was foaming at the mouth. I actually felt that if the officer had not physically, which the officer did physically restrain this man, I felt that if he had not been there, this man would have come over and assaulted me. I mean, he was that much lost in his rage. This was a man who just was scary. He was so lost in his rage, and his rage was over chalking on the sidewalk. My God, what kind of man is this? And do you know what our police officer said when I requested, is there not a penal code violation happening here? Our officer said, why, yes, there is, but I'm going to do nothing about it. In fact, for this man to be cited, I had to sign a citizen's arrest, which the officer promptly told me, well, I'm glad to do it this way because then I don't have to testify because I won't be there.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned earlier, James, and I was told by Officer Tipsy, I've got to get his name proper. It starts with a T. It's another officer around the issue of chalking after you'd been arrested several days after that. And I was asking, what about, here's an individual chalking, and someone was chalking as the officer came up. He said, well, we have to have a citizen's complaint. In fact, that's not true. When an officer sees any case of an infraction being violated in their presence, they have the option to cite. In fact, you might say they have the responsibility to cite if it's a clear violation of the law. But, of course, it's never been a violation of the law to chalk on the sidewalk with erasable chalk. So the officer was perhaps passing on a cover story, which was given to him. And cover stories, by the way, seem to be the name of the game. While I'm going on to that, the Citizens Police Review Board is coming up on Monday for those of you who still like to follow these toy poodle-type boards. And some interesting stuff is coming back in the form of the, you may remember back on May 22nd of last year, there was a demonstration at the McPherson Center against the bombing of Yugoslavia, which resulted in very well-publicized brouhaha. Police bungled the whole thing completely, in my view, arrested a woman for having a boombox with the sounds of the bombing and supposedly disturbing the peace of some members of the Representative Farr's dinner inside. But they ended up dropping all the charges against her. But instead of telling the folks what the problem was and discussing it with the crowd, they played the Iron Sentinels. They played We Don't Have to Answer Any Questions. They played LAPD, and they started arresting people who had surrounded the police van, demanding to know why an innocent woman was being arrested. And as that happened, they grabbed at a woman. Officer Lefebvre grabbed at a woman who was holding a child in her hand, and Steve Argue intervened using force, punching Lefebvre one blow in the face. The woman and her child got away, as did the woman and the child's partner, who also had her partner also had a child with him. They left the scene instead of being seized by CPS and arrested on bogus charges, as other people were. And the whole question of how police conducted themselves became the basis for the city's first ever independent investigation, supposedly. But then Mayor Sugar and the council, or actually then it was Mayor Byers, but Sugar was on the council, refused to challenge their city attorney, Barisoni, who said that whole investigation would have to be kept secret. No one could hear about it or see about it in terms of its specifics, and also that officers would not be allowed to be subpoenaed in spite of the law that the city wrote in 1994, which specifically authorizes that. And this whole report by independent investigator Diane Christensen is coming back to the CPRB 5:30 tomorrow at City Hall. And, of course, the problem is we aren't going to be able to see the report because the Craven CPRB, instead of making it public, is hiding it at the instructions of the city attorney. It will only be shown to them and, I suppose, to certain select city council members. So the rest of us will not be able to see what is costing the city $10,000, an independent investigation. Also, you may want to know as an update, supposedly to deal with this problem, the Mayor Sugar and head of the Citizens Police Review Board, Arnie Leff, got together to form a subcommittee that would supposedly recommend changes in the law that would allow folks to see these reports. All, of course, they need to do is change their goddamn city attorney. I mean, that's what they need to do. Fire Barrasone and get an attorney, or even get an independent opinion from another an appointed counsel. They refuse to do that. Again, Catherine Byers holding the power here, refusing to go the mile that would require actually putting some real citizen oversight over the police department. No, she wouldn't do that. And, of course, as usual, Sugar, Crone, and Fitzmaurice refused to challenge her on this. They are afraid to take any positions independent of Catherine Byers in any significant public way. It is contemptible in my mind. It betrays the public trust they were voted for, and it gives Byers this unholy, unnatural power. Anyway, the issue will be coming up to the CPRB tomorrow in a strange and limited way. Another issue that will be coming up will be a debate on the question, perhaps postponed by Arnie Leff, who loves to postpone these things and does so endlessly. The issue of whether police officers who went to Steve Argue's sentencing hearing, that's the man who protected the woman, defended the woman who Lefevre was assaulting, and then is now spending, he was sentenced to 9 months, looks like he'll spend at least 7 months in jail coming out in June. At his sentencing hearing, dozens of armed, uniformed police officers showed up in the audience, some of them on taxpayer time and money. And when I complained about this, the city manager said dismissed the complaint without any investigation, and that is coming up at the Citizens Police Review Board again. Also, Becky Johnson filed a complaint about the same thing. She said she would be calling in on this issue. Perhaps she will. We don't have too much time left to cover it, so I'm just mentioning it briefly. Again, if you want to cover that and you're interested in that, that's 5:30 tomorrow, City Hall, Citizens Police Review Board. And that's important stuff. Let me quickly look through my list of num-nums here.
Got a quick question for you? Could we take a quick moment here? Let's talk a little bit about the signs.
All right. Actually, I have that on my list. Maybe you can introduce that, James. You yourself were at the table, and you heard news of... let me give us a little bit of the background. Back in December, November, Officer Howes was discovered to have been going around on Almar Avenue, dickering with various members of the community, encouraging them to complain to the city council about people parking on their street, as to say homeless people or people in vehicles parking on their street. The city council, they actually were able to get some kind of a thing through the, the planning commission? No, it's the zoning commission. It's one of these subgroups which said, in essence, put up signs that say no parking at night from 10 to 6. But when that went to the city council and appealed there by Laura Tucker, the Homeless Issues Task Force, city council turned it around and said, no, we're not going to make any such changes, and in essence supporting the right of homeless people to park, but not to sleep, because it's still illegal to sleep inside a vehicle after 11 at night. Thank you. So that happened, and we had thought that the parking sign situation had stopped. But James, you got more information.
Well, yeah, because that's the way I understood it also, that there would be no more signs put up. I had people, friends of mine, homeless friends. As you all know, I actually stay in a motorhome myself. I have many friends that have trailers, motorhomes, cars, and they were coming to me at the table to tell me that new signs had gone up on Delaware Avenue, that a large section of it has new signs that have the 12-hour rule, says you may only park 12 hours and you must move along. But also a very large section which has no homes on it, going down to the Marine Long Laboratories, where at the end there are the mobile home park.
The Anza Trailer Park.
The Anza, thank you. But prior to that, for long stretches there, there's nothing but park. They now have signs that says 10 p.m. to 6 a.m., no parking. Brand new signs. I've had numerous people come to me to state that. I brought this to Robert. Robert went out and checked, and yes, those signs are there. And I'd love to hear what you were told, why those signs were there, Robert.
Well, what I was told, I went to the, I think it's the planning department. I talked to Matt Farrell, who also is the staff person for Crohn's Crapper Commission, which is the group that's put in the porta-potties downtown. And I want to say, frankly, that's about the only thing Crohn's done that I'm aware of on his tenure. He has been responsible for getting the city to put in some porta-potties. What Farrell did, however, was he made a couple phone calls. He came back to me and said, oh, here's what happened. Some months ago, a tree fell down and destroyed one of the signs that had said no parking 10 to 6 a.m. So what happened was somebody mistakenly put up a sign that said, which is what is on the other side of the street, parking only 12 hours a day, which apparently would allow parking at night. In other words, there's a parking limit of 12 hours at any particular time. That was the wrong sign. So what happened, what we did was we didn't change anything. We didn't make any changes in how that parking area was zoned. We simply replaced the old wrong sign with the new right sign and a few other right signs. Therefore, all is well. Go home and go to sleep, but not after 11 o'clock at night if you're homeless.
Now let's look at the reality here, okay? The reality is that this gentleman lied through his teeth, straight up. That phone ring and let's have him call in here. He is a liar, a straight up liar. I have been going to the spot near the De Anza Trailer Park, in the park there where you can pull over and run your dogs there. Two friends of mine have a number of dogs, and we have been going to that area for 4 years, both that side of the street and the opposite side of the street where the duck pond is, for 4 years now. Those signs have never been there before. Never. And I can provide you with numerous homeless people who used to park there and sleep that will go on and on. And we're not talking about just a block stretch or something or one or two signs. We're talking about the whole length of the street, and we're talking about multiple signs, not one or two that were knocked down by a tree. Signs that were never there before, that are brand new. Go out there and look, any of those challenges. Go out and look right now. They're still brand new signs. If those signs have been there for years, why are all the signs on the street brand new? I say again, here is our city criminalizing the homeless, saying, don't sleep here, go away. What they did was they came in first and they stuck these 72-hour tags, the big orange ones, on the windows.
Hey, you're on the air with Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. This is Eleanor.
Hey, Eleanor. I know you got a phone now, finally. I hope you can show up at City Council to get arrested. Or maybe just to offer a pie to the... We can have you present a pie to the City Council.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have my view on... it's hard. It's a very difficult choice.
Yeah,
you know, really, only one? Well, I have my view on who that would be, but the most proper one should get it. Who am I talking about? Anyway, the reason why I called is, and I really don't like to disagree with James, because I think he's fantastic, just like you.
Right.
But those signs were there 4.5 years ago, because I was, when I first became homeless, we knew that after 6 o'clock in the morning we could go there, because the signs were 10 p.m. to 6 in the morning. So we would go there just to have some place to stay, to sit and talk, you know, and not too many people, and we did know that, and we would park by these signs.
Now, where exactly are you talking, Eleanor? Give us.
I'm talking about, I believe, the same area that James is talking about is on
Delaware,
and it's the area where
about a block from De Anza Trailer Park.
Yeah, not fully to the corner where Natural Bridges would be. But all, if you were coming from the trailer park and the marine biology,
right.
I would say two-thirds of the way towards that Natural Bridges and Delaware intersection. It's not an intersection because there's an entrance to the park on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And on that corner, I believe, is Texas Instruments.
Mm-hmm.
And the dogs, yeah, there's a lot of dog walkers on the Palm side. I never could go in there to see where they go with their dogs, but the dogs love to go there. And on the other side of the street of Delaware, which is the side the mobile park is on, there are signs right there.
Huh.
And because we were there one morning, we pulled up there one morning, and we were stopped, and an officer said, "How long you been here?" And I said, "Since 6:30." And he said, "Oh, okay, you know," and he drove on. But the signs are right there.
Was that in the residential area, or was that like in the block after Dan's apartment?
Oh, it's not residential there. It's a park on both sides of the street.
Well, I appreciate that information, Eleanor. Anything you want to add about any of the other topics that we've got rolling? We've only got 3 minutes left here.
There's so many great things to talk about. No, I'm gonna defer to you guys and let you continue doing a great job, and apologize for having to offer information in conflict, but they were there. We both know they were there.
No, the truth is important, and I'm glad you are calling in on it.
Oh, sure. I think this was...
We'll just set up a wrestling contest between you and James.
Oh, my gosh. You might as well just hand him the prize now. It was in the early part of 96.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, James, so you've been revealed as a liar and a scoundrel. I'm afraid that we just don't want your kind anywhere, and at least, we'll take this up later.
No, I actually love people to call in and state their differences, because that's what our world is made up of. Maybe 4.5 years ago they put up the signs. Maybe they had a sign somewhere there where she was 4.5 years ago. Maybe they took them down. I do know that in the years since then, now I'm talking about less than 4 years ago, that those signs were not there.
Free radio, you're almost the last caller. What's up, Blair?
Well, I just thought I'd try again to see if the line was busy or not.
This is Homeless Issues Task Force Chair, or former chair, or chair of the former task force, Linda LeMaster. Hi,
is that the nicest thing you can say about me?
Well, I can think some better things once this task force is dead and buried, I'll tell you.
Dead and buried? You don't think that we're self-effacing enough?
No, you're pretty self-effacing, I got to admit. But I hope that on Tuesday night the task force will have one last confrontation with City Council where they reveal to the community just exactly how little they're being given any kind of credence and how important some of the issues that have been raised are.
Confrontation. I think we have to get some more things done, too.
How can you get anything done if the council isn't listening to you?
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to depend solely on them to get something done.
Right.
You know?
Well, they're the people...
I've seen their
Linda,
posturing.
They're the people you'll be talking to on
no,
Tuesday afternoon.
They hopefully they'll be talking, and they'll have some questions, and they'll put up some money, and they'll say, where's the housing part of this?
Oh, right.
I hope.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but I don't know.
Why didn't they
have
no discussion?
Whoa.
Right. There's no discussion from the public, of course. That's
no.
An interesting part of the agenda. But, give us a minute summary of anything you want to say. And by the way, my apologies to Task Force member Lucy Kimmitzer. We have not been able to play her statement. Hopefully we can play it on Thursday. She was making a plea for no civil disobedience at City Council, because once we do that, we'll have shot our bolt. That was
her
argument.
Well, I would plea myself for, if you're going to do civil disobedience, don't do it when I'm trying to be an obedient civilian. But that's just a personal preference.
Hey, don't be an obedient civilian, kiddo.
Well, once in a while you have to, you know.
Well, go ahead with what you have to say.
I think it's important, you know. I just saw a sign at the corner store that said, "I'm a revolutionary and I vote."
You have 30 seconds.
I think that we shouldn't let any other discussions about homelessness interfere with some of the immediate objectives, like taking the crime out of the camping ban.
I call
it the anti-camping ban.
And I think we really need to give those people who are waiting for their pie an opportunity to receive it. And I hope that will be a real opportunity for
if
those
people. If you ever give me a pie, I prefer banana cream.
Keep that in mind. Anything else, Linda?
No.
Thank you.
See you Tuesday.
See you Tuesday.
Bye.
And see you all on Tuesday. And from then, we're going to be rolling to the next edition of Bathurst Broadside. What's the name of this show anyway? Broadsides. We'll be on Thursday at 6 o'clock. Let's get a little music before we go out. And, hey, come on down Tuesday. 423-HUFF. Call off here if you got stuff you want to talk about.